We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. Thursday, April 1st, 2021. You know what that means. It's opening day for MLB. We have nine games that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the main slate over there on DraftKings. We're going to strictly stick to main slates like we did last season. It just kind of worked out better instead of trying to talk about, you know, these three random games or these two random games. So we're going to stick to the main slate. If you guys have feedback on that, I'm always open to it. So hit me up on Twitter if that's the case. But I'm joined by my good buddy, Genie for 07. Grant, we're recording for Thursday. It's Wednesday afternoon. We're getting this up early. How are you doing? I know you've been working all morning. And, you know, is the super draft money, like, sitting in yet?
I mean, it's just a weekly occurrence at this point. But, gosh, I'm excited for baseball season. Oh, man, been researching. I ended up staying up until like 1:30 in the morning last night, just looking at baseball, feeling like a giddy little kid. And I've still got one more day before it actually starts, but I am so happy. I am so excited. This is it's just beautiful. And today's the first day slate is absolutely fantastic. I've already found a lot of things that I'm absolutely in love with at lower ownership. Everything in life is great right now, my friend.
It sure is. We have nine games. We're going to jump into that. But before we do that, we are presented by Superdraft. Superdraft.com. Use promo code Grinders. We'll have a Superdraft baseball play of the day when we get done breaking down this before we play the morning grind game. They have a ton of stuff going on over there. Buy-ins for everything. Like any type of bankroll you are, they have a buy-in for you. $25 buy-in, $5,000 to first place, $25,000 tournament. 35 entry max, they have a $10 $3,000 to first, $15,000 tournament, 52 entry max. And if you're a smaller bankroll player, they have a 8 entry max $4, and they have a $1 150 entry max base knock tournament as well. So they got double ups, they got 50/50s, they got all kinds of stuff over there. So make sure you guys are checking them out. They got a ton of stuff. Let's support them. They're presenting the podcast, they're helping us out. So let's support them. Love the contest over there. And it is a much different slate over there. They're doing all the games, 15 games, every single game. So a lot of stuff to dig into if you're playing over there on Superdraft. So, Grant, let's jump in. Like I said, we have 15 games. Like, or not 15 games. We have nine games. We're going to talk about the main slate. First and foremost, if you guys haven't already, make sure you guys get RG Premium for baseball. Our baseball content is incredible with Cheese, STL, notorious. I do a lot of premium stuff as well. So, you know, tooting my own horn, love baseball, love this time of year, and definitely ready to dig in. We get started with Minnesota at Milwaukee, 8 total. Pick'em game right off the bat. Pick'em game. Let's start here with the Twins side of things. What are we looking at here for Minnesota? Or no, we're doing
pitchers,
baseball.
Buddy, you're
pitchers.
You're out of practice.
Wow. Wow. Back at it. Kenta Maeda. What are we looking at here with Kenta Maeda?
Kenta is definitely a good play. I mean, the problem is that splits are a little bit much better against righties than lefties, and looks like there's going to be a decent amount of lefties in the lineup. Still, he grades out as one of the better plays on the entire slate, probably going to come in around mid-20s ownership because he's priced a little bit too low at 8.3K, but Milwaukee lineup strikes out a huge clip versus right-handed pitching. The current projected lineup, if we use the last two seasons, is a 27.2% K rate versus righty. So he just grades out as a fantastic play. If this ownership's there, he's right in the thick of things as one of the best plays on the entire slate of the pitching from a pitching standpoint. So can't really argue with it too much. I mean, we don't know what his leash will be like, but still a guy that is going to be decently owned, but I don't know if he's going to be high owned enough with other guys at the similar price range, but just overall, not including ownership, one of the top plays on the entire slate.
Listen, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer are on the late slate, so we don't even have to worry about guys throwing 100 pitches because Scherzer's
Garrett not Cole, in the Shane Bieber on the early slate.
Yeah, like the guys that are going to throw 100 pitches, like I would assume that most pitchers on this opening day throw 75 to 85 pitches. So I think they're all going to kind of be in that same range. Kenta Maeda, like you said, the strikeout upside's there, like 31.7% K rate last season, really high strikeout rate to righties. And the good thing about it is even though they're going to have a lot of lefties in this lineup, they added Colton Wong, they added Jackie Bradley Jr. But like, those aren't guys that are typically like big power guys. So really you got to get through Yelich. If Travis Shaw is still swinging with a hole in his bat, like that's a strikeout or two waiting to happen. So I'm with you. I think Kenta Maeda definitely in play here for tournaments. And going to the other side, Brandon Woodruff, a guy that we know can strike out people at a high clip. It's just more of like getting the innings and the pitches out of this guy was always such a big problem.
Yeah, and it looks like he's going to be the chalkiest guy on the entire slate. I mean, he's priced at 8K over on DK. Going up against a lineup that has a whole lot of strikeouts in it outside of Polanco, Kepler, and Simmons, like, it's just snow, huge strikeout rate. Buxton, huge strikeout rate. Cave, strikeout waiting to happen. Jeffers, strikeout waiting to happen. So it's got a lineup with a whole lot of strikeouts in it. He's looking like he's going to be chalky, big ground ball pitcher, but yeah, big strikeout rate, not a ton of walks. So this is a perfect spot for him. The problem is, he is going to be 30%+ owned, in my opinion, which is why I'm predominantly planning on fading him. It's a risky move in tournaments, but I'm planning on doing it just because I know his ownership is going to be there. And people forget early on in the season, obviously pitching in a dome is much better for pitchers. But this early on in the season, when you have multiple games in the mid-30s, mid-40s in terms of temperature, the dome is actually more advantageous because it's going to be hotter in there. It's going to be better weather for hitting than it is over in Chicago, over in Philly, over in a lot of different places, over in Cincinnati. So with people immediately going to Woodruff, we'll wait and see if ownership changes. Like, just straight up on point per dollar basis, he stands out as potentially the best pitcher on the entire slate. But GBPs, I think I'm going to fade him, and we'll get to the guy that I plan on playing over him pretty soon. But if you want to, no argument here. Absolutely should end up with a pretty decent game. Grades out fantastically. But just based on game theory and just based on the way the slate is, the weather, everything, I'm planning on not playing him almost at all.
Yeah, I get it. If he was like a guy that gave up a lot of home runs and stuff, I could jump on board with you. Like, his contact rate is really down. He's a guy that gets a lot of swings and misses outside the zone, stuff like that. This is a dude that can put up like monster numbers on a team like Minnesota. But Minnesota, even though they're a team that strikes out a lot, you know, we have what, four guys with high hard hit rates, bunch of power in this lineup, like Sano,
bunch of fly ball hitters.
Yeah, they have guys that can definitely beat up Woodruff. So game theory wise makes a ton of sense, especially because it's opening day. Anything can kind of happen on this. So let's talk hitters here for Minnesota. What are we looking at here for the Twins?
I mean, Kepler is the guy that immediately is the one that catches my eye. I mean, Woodruff, kind of good versus righties and lefties, kind of splits neutral, but definitely gives a little bit more power to lefties. And Kepler sitting there leading off at 3.8K seems like a clear mispricing. Polanco, generally a guy I like to target a little bit more going up against lefties than I do against righties. A lot switch hitter, but a lot worse versus righties. Don't mind him, though, at 3.3K. Sano, always a potential for a bomb. Problem is going up against a high strikeout guy. Like, I don't mind a full stack here, but if we're just looking at one-offs, I think Kepler is the guy that you really want to go with. Or if you need to save some salary, I'm not against Polanco, especially since you can play him at second or shortstop. But outside of that, not a ton of interest outside of just full stack based on game theory and low price tags.
Yeah, definitely don't mind the stack. It would be very low owned, especially if Woodruff is going to be popular. But if you want to take a random shot in the dark in tournaments, I think Jake Cave at 2.4K. This is a dude that when he does make contact, it's usually hard. Only 11% soft contact rate against right-handed pitching last season. So always like Jake Cave is like tournament, like cheap one-off. He's like 2.4K over there on DK. And as far as the Brewers go, as far as their bats go, you know, obviously we're going to get into some games where we really like some bats. This total is, it's decent. Let's talk Brewers. Anything really standing out to you here?
Mostly just Yelich. Like you said, there is a lot of lefties in this lineup, but Wong, Bradley, Navarez, all guys that don't have a ton of pop. Maeda definitely struggles versus lefties more than he does versus righties, but I mean, like, there's not a ton that you really want to like. So it's Yelich, who I think is going to come in at very low ownership on this slate, but again, playing in a dome with a lot of bad weather throughout the course of the rest of the slate, or just like Miami, where it's even worse ballpark. I just don't really want to play any of these Minnesota bats. Maeda rarely ever gets blown up. If someone's going to hit a one-off bomb, it's probably going to be Yelich.
Yeah, he's so expensive. You're going to need a big game for him. Like, that's the problem, I think, with like potentially wanting to stack the Brewers. They're just not cheap. Like, you're paying over 4K for pretty much the whole stack. So I think I'm probably out on the Brewers here. I hope Kenta Maeda mows them down. Moving on, we got Baltimore at Boston, 2.5 total or 9.5 total. John Means against Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi and the Red Sox are a -176 favorite here. Any interest here in John Means?
None whatsoever. I mean, to me, this just isn't a spot where you really want to use him. Red Sox, while they do have a few lefties in there, Means strikes out lefties at a whole lot higher rate. And yes, the weather isn't going to be great starting off around 52 and drop down into the mid 40s later on in the game. I just don't see it as a good spot for him. I mean, if you really want to in large field tournaments, he's going to kind of come in at low ownership, but not a guy that I'm particularly interested in playing.
Yeah, like, there's enough righties in this lineup that can do damage against a lefty, and John Means is just a guy that lot of hard contact, hardly any soft contact last season, and he's a big fly ball guy, so the weather might help him, but it's still Fenway. It's a short porch left field. Even if it's not home runs, it's doubles off the wall, so I'm out on Means. And then Nathan Eovaldi on the other side. This lineup, the bottom of this lineup is going to be rough, and it's going to be rough all season. The top of the lineup, there's some guys that are talented at the top of this order. Santander, Mancini, Mountcastle, even Mullins. Eovaldi's like a fringe tournament play, depending on like how many lineups you're playing.
Yeah, no, he's definitely one of the guys where, I mean, you got Coors on the slate, and you need, if you want to pay up for him, there's not a whole lot of cheap guys on the entire slate, especially not a lot of cheap guys that you can consider rostering. So I don't mind playing Eovaldi. I mean, he's a -173, or the Red Sox are -173 favorite to win it. And so, like, the win's a possibility. Like, this lineup still has a decent amount of Ks in it, not a ton, but they don't walk at a particularly high rate. So Eovaldi's still a guy with a bit of talent. So just based on price tag, I mean, he's not my favorite. I probably won't end up going there too much, but he's going to come in at low ownership, and it's first day. Anything can happen, but I plan on limiting my ownership a decent amount with him.
Well, I will say, like, he had a rough 2019 season, but he had a really solid 2020 season. And you know, obviously things were way different, but like he averaged over a strikeout per inning. Like he looked a lot better as someone that watches a lot of Red Sox games. He looked a lot better last year. Let's talk Baltimore bats. Anything that you like here for Baltimore?
Not particularly. I mean, Mancini is not a bad price tag. Mullins is not is super cheap and will probably be one to chalk your guys on the slate, but it's not particularly great matchup for him. I think Santander and Mountcastle are both the guys that you probably want to go with. 3.5 and 3.9K, going to come in at lower ownership than Mancini, and they could definitely get it done. Like this is like one of the cheaper stacks on the slate, and you can go with it. I just don't have a ton of interest in it, but I'm not going to argue with it at all, considering these are guys that over the past two seasons, like Mancini, Santander, Mountcastle, have all gotten around 200 plus ISOs and closing in on 350, 400 Wobos.
Yeah, 132 plate appearances last season for Santander, 328 ISO, 396 Woba, 44% hard hit rate. He'd probably be the guy that I'm the most interested in here. He's a high hitting fly ball guy, hard hitting fly ball guy that doesn't strike out a ton. So he's definitely by far like my favorite option here. And then on the Boston side, like this is a completely different look Boston lineup. Like Kiki Hernandez probably going to bat leadoff. JD's in there. They got Hunter Renfro, Dahlback. They got right-handed bats that they're going to be able to throw throughout this lineup. Red Sox, I think, are one of the top plays. And like Grant, like JD Martinez, 4.3 against a lefty. Kiki Hernandez batting leadoff probably at 3K. Hunter Renfro, 3.2. Like this is like a bottom barrel, potentially able to stack cores in the Red Sox type of lineup.
Red Sox are my favorite stack on the day. It's not remotely close. Like I'm trying to figure out why Renfro is projected for 7% ownership. I get he's batting six. I get he's on the home team that's probably going to win, so he could potentially not get that extra at bat. I know that people, like in the past, he's been taken out whenever a lefty comes in the game. And I mean, there's definitely a chance of that, but there's a chance that Kike gets taken out of the game if a lefty comes in the game. We look at their depth chart, and I mean, who are they going to throw in there? Probably Franchi Cordero if they end up bringing a righty, but I kind of doubt it. He could see less of a pinch hit risk drastically than he has in the past. And this is a guy with a 351 ISO versus lefties over the last two seasons, a 360 Woba, huge fly ball rate, huge hard hit rate. Like, and Means is a guy that strikes out lefties at a pretty decent clip, but does not strike out righties. This is just a beautiful spot for him, and I'm trying to figure out. I know he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact, but that really doesn't matter for Renfro. Renfro is my favorite play on the entire slate, like favorite play for tournaments.
So the fact that I already wrote him down as like one of my favorite two hit guys under 4K, I probably need to find another one because you get to go first. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I mean, we'll see if I find someone else. I'm sure there's going to be someone else on the board. You can take Mancini over on the other side, but
you can even take Kiki Hernandez for two hits under 4K. Like you said, John Means, he struggles to strike righties out. And there's just so much don't forget about Bobby Dahlbeck either. Like you could wrap around stack with him, you know, and it makes a ton of sense because like in a short sample size, this kid showed us a lot of power against lefties and he strikes out a ton, but if Means is going to be a guy that doesn't strike out a lot of people, I think Dahlbeck is someone you definitely want to be looking at. Man, we're two games in and I'm so excited that we're talking baseball. Like it's not even remotely close. Anyway, Pirates, Cubs, no total in this game. Very typical for a Wrigley game not to have a total up until day of. Chad Kuhl against Kyle Hendricks. Wind looks like it's going to be blowing across the field, maybe even potentially blowing in a little bit at a really high clip. So any interest here in Chad Kuhl?
Surprisingly enough, yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's going to be 36 degrees, so it's not going to – the ball will not be flying. Like,
especially if the wind is blowing anywhere remotely close to being blown in.
Yeah, like this is, I mean, this is not going to be a high scoring game. So just based on his price tag of 5.2K, I mean, I know he doesn't grade out as a great play, and he can obviously get into a decent amount of trouble with his high walk rate to both the left and the right side of the plate, and the fact that the Cubs have a decent amount of walks in their lineup outside of Brian Baez. But I really don't care. Like, if you're looking for salary, like he's not my favorite play, but if you're looking for salary relief, he's probably the go-to guy just because of how cold it's going to be and the wind blowing in. I mean, this Cubs line still strikes out at a decent clip. I mean, They were injured and kind of hindered in certain areas last season, so maybe coming in healthy, they'll be a better team, and adding Jock James in there is probably going to help with a decent amount of power. But, I mean, if Cole has kind of figured out how to get his walks down from a 14% clip just to a normal 10% clip, then he's not going to be a terrible pitcher this year. And all the hard contact he gives up, all the fly balls he gives up, not really going to matter in this cold weather and this windy situation. So Cole is probably my favorite cheap guy on the entire slate, but I'm not in love with him. It's just he makes Coors fit if you really want to stack up Coors.
The only concern that I have with Chad Cool, because I was looking at him, I looked into him a lot before we got started, is like his last spring training start, he only threw two innings. So I'm definitely a little concerned about that. I was really thinking they were going to start Tyler Anderson on opening day, and like I was going to be really excited about playing Tyler Anderson in the cold. I think Chad Cool's in play, but buyer beware. He's 5,200 for a reason. Like I would not be shocked if he throws like four innings. So love the spot, like pulling up Weather Edge, awesome tool here at RotoGrinders. If you guys haven't checked it out, hit the home run rate with this type of weather at Wrigley over 38 games is down 42%, like 42% less home runs, 10% less runs scored. Everything is just, this is so pitcher friendly. This is a pitcher friendly spot. Going to the other side, I think Kyle Hendricks is one of the best point per dollar pitchers on the slate. I hate playing Kyle Hendricks. I hate it. But this is a team that doesn't typically hit a ton of home runs anyway. This is a spot Hendricks should be able to go out and work some clean innings and get to the bullpen and hopefully win the game.
Hendricks is my favorite play on the entire slate, pitcher hitter.
Yep.
Like he's coming. We have him projected for 11% ownership. We got Woodruff at 29, Made at 22, Glasnow at 31. That could end up changing, but I expect everyone to be on Woodruff and Glasnow. Both those guys are playing inside of domes, whereas Hendricks is playing in cold weather that is going to be likely having the wind blowing in. This is a guy with elite control, so he can go later on into the game. He doesn't have great strikeout stuff versus righties, but has pretty darn good strikeout stuff versus lefties because of his incredible changeup. He's going to be facing four lefties in the top five of the order, plus he's going to be getting that pitcher at the end, whereas last year Cub, like, obviously no DH, or there was a DH, no DH this year. So this is just a beautiful spot for Hendricks going up against a trash lineup outside of Hayes. It's just not good all the way up and down. 24% projected K rate in the lineup. So Hendricks is going to be my top owned guy on the entire slate from a pitching standpoint, just because the weather conditions are perfect. This is also a guy that the first game last year, I think he pitched a complete game shutout and had 40 Ks. So he comes into the season hot, which I know that's not a huge thing to go off of, but this is a guy that is a 3.77 xFIP last year with the DH in there and only has a 3.2% walk rate. So he can go later in the game. He's facing a trash team. Like, this is, everything is perfect, and the ownership is not the same as Maeda, Woodruff, and Glasnow, which it probably should be. People are just afraid to play him because he doesn't have a huge K rate, but that'll more than be made up for considering that he strikes out lefties at a high clip, and there's a lot of high strikeout lefties and some bad righties in the lineup.
Yeah, they're going to throw a lot of lefties at him too. So I'm with you, man. I think he's the best point per dollar pitcher on the slate. It could blow up in our face, but there's so many people that just overlook weather, and like people are going to overlook weather on opening day even more because people are just so excited to play baseball. But this is by far not even close, like not even remotely close, the best pitcher spot on the slate. Like, you know, on this slate, like the Washington weather is really, really good for pitching too, for what it's worth, but that's not on the slate. So just wanted to throw that out there.
If the wind is blowing in, this could be the best pitching weather that we've seen.
We might get all year.
Yeah, literally. We might get all year. You're not going to have much colder weather in Chicago, and you're not going to have much higher winds than 16, 17, 18 mile an hour.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't like any hitters in this game.
I don't mind Brian Hayes. But that's really it.
Yeah, I have no interest on either side. Like, they're just so expensive. Brian's 5K, Rizzo's 4.8, Contreras is 5K. If I'm playing anybody, it's my boy Jock James at 3.4K against Chad Cool.
Yeah, that's definitely. He's a little bit too cheap, and he got the ball out no matter what.
Atlanta at Philly, 7 total. Max Fried against Aaron Nola. Pick 'em game. What do you like here for Max Fried?
I mean, he's fine. Like, he's not great. It's a decent matchup, but his price tag is probably about where it should be. Like, he's not a huge strikeout guy. He's more of just a very good ground ball pitcher that is just a good real-life pitcher. Matchup versus Philly, where a lot of guys know how to work the count a lot and doesn't have a ton of strikeouts in it. I just don't see a huge amount of upside. I don't mind it. It's just kind of a meh spot, and I probably won't have almost any ownership in Fried.
I just think he pitches well in this game, but he doesn't pitch well enough. Like, he pitches well,
but he might not score a lot of runs.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, both of these lineups are really good, and we got two really good pitchers in this game, but like, both of these lineups are solid. McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Bohm. Singura is another one that's decent in the bottom of the order. Didi, even lefty-lefty, doesn't really strike out, so I'm probably out here on Max Fried. And, man, Aaron Nola is always someone that can light up a scoreboard as far as strikeouts. This is a dude with a 33% K rate last season. We really saw him return to form. 13.5% swinging strike rate. We're striking out righties at almost a 40% clip last year, and this is a very right-handed heavy lineup. Albies and Freeman are likely going to be the only two lefties in this lineup for opening day. So I don't think they'll start Inciarte over Patchy. Maybe they do because of the matchup, but if Nola gets 7 or 6 in the pitcher spot, like, if he gets all these righties, it's hard not to have some remote interest in him.
Yeah, so it's super interesting when you just look at the price tag. You're like, no, I'm not going to do that. But there are a few different builds. Like, if you're not doing Coors plays and you're double stacking, there are a few different double stacks where it's actually pretty easy to play Nola. We currently have him projected at almost no ownership. Realistically, like, if you're not playing Coors and Coors just happens to have an off day, then there's a lot of different scenarios where Nola ends up being the top pitcher on the, like, pretty much a necessity for this slate, and he's almost 0% owned according to our projections, because he's 10.1K and he's pretty much on kind of the same spot as a guy like Woodruff and Maeda and Glass. Now they're all 8 to 8.8K. So I think that Nola actually stands out as an elite GBP play because he is going up against this Atlanta lineup that's pretty good, but it's 49 degrees. It's at Philly, so it's pretty much at sea level. Like, this is not that great of a hitter's ballpark at this time of year. And they have some strikeouts. I mean, outside of Freeman, pretty much everyone has a 23, 25% plus strikeout rate. And you're right, Nola strikes out righties at a 40% clip. How stretch out it'll be at this point in the season, I don't know. But he could potentially be in for a massive, massive outing in this spot here. So I plan on playing him mostly from a game. Like, he doesn't stand out as a better point per dollar play than Maeda, Woodruff, or Glasnow. But just based on ownership and based on the way that builds could end up happening around Coors, I will definitely be playing a decent amount of Nola.
We keep on going here. Any Atlanta bats?
I mean, Freeman's always in play. That's kind of it. Like,
the stack is too expensive on this slate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're stacking it up, you're double stacking it with a trash stack. I mean, unless you throw in, like, Mullins, Kike, and then throw in, like, Cool and Keller as your pitchers. So I wouldn't suggest it versus Nola.
And, like, even the Phillies, like, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, they're so expensive. Like, if I'm playing anybody here, it's McCutchen at 3.9, and it's Alex Bohm at 3.1K.
Yeah, Bohm, I don't mind. McCutchen, probably not going with. I mean, McCutchen does have pretty good numbers versus lefties. But Fried is a big ground ball guy, and it's going to be cold, so the ball's not going to be flying. I don't see a bunch of upside. I'd rather just fade him.
Rays and Marlins, 7.5 total. Glasnow against Alcantara. Glasnow and Tampa, 148 favorite here. Let's start with Glasnow. You already kind of preference. This guy is going to be really popular.
Yeah, and I understand all the reasons why. I mean, this guy last season had a 36% K rate, 2.72 xFIP. He's going up against Miami. That's one of the worst teams hitting in the league. It's in Miami, which is generally a good pitcher's ballpark. But, I mean, the weather is like being in a dome, the weather is going to be better than a lot of other games. So it's more pitcher neutral on this slate. Like last now, if we're just talking about straight up like point per dollar, ceiling, floor, everything, like he's probably the top guy on the slate. But there's some stuff that worries me. It can definitely end up going poorly. I mean, it's the Rays. They always give their starting pitchers a pretty short leash, and it's versus an NL team. So Glasnow is going to be batting, so that causes an even shorter leash. I'm not sure that he's that great of a tournament play. Like, I'll still have some ownership in him, and he still grades out as a decent play, but there's a lot of potential outs for him having a sub-20-point game.
Yeah, definitely want to see if the roof is going to be open or closed, too, because if the stadium's going to be opened up there in Miami, like, I live in Florida. It is currently 88 outside right now. So that's going to be the best weather a lot of these teams are going to face on this slate. Yep. So, listen, I think Glasnow is one of the safer options for cash games. If you want to play him in cash, I'm not arguing it. I hate paying over like 9K on the first week or so for a pitcher. So like, if you don't want to go Darvish and you want to go Glasnow, I'm in. That's fine. Even in like single entry, like I might play Glasnow in single entry just because I don't want to spend too much for pitching on this slate. But I do think Aaron Nola is a great like tournament pivot off of Glasnow. So just throwing that out there. Alcantara on the other side. Alcantara was elite against righties last season. Elite. 0.03 ISO, 257 WOBA, 66% ground ball rate. But his biggest issue, man, he needed to develop a pitch against lefties. It's something we're going to be paying attention to. But, like, his sinker just – it wasn't getting the job done against lefties as much as it was against righties. And he's going to see probably five or six left-handed hitters in this lineup on opening day.
Yeah, I mean, his changeup just wasn't good. Like, his changeup was just bad. So that was going to be his out pitch versus lefties, just clearly not a – pitch that he has developed or had developed enough last year. Who knows? It could change this year, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of lefties. Meadows, or yeah, I'm probably not using Alcantara. Like, he's cheap enough. He's fine. He's pretty much in the same range as all those other guys that are cheap, but I'd rather spend up a little bit for Hendricks.
Yeah. You know, obviously I think a lot of people are going to be doing that too.
I think Alcantara is probably going to have a decent amount of ownership.
You think so?
Yeah.
If that's going to be the case, man, I have way more interest in stacking Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so do I. I mean, we currently have Alcantara projected at 12% ownership, which everyone's kind of underpriced on this slate. So from a pitching standpoint, so I'm not surprised. But yeah, no, these Tampa bats, like, obviously huge fly ball rate. Not a ton of hard contact, but there's a lot of guys that can hit the ball hard versus lefty or versus righties. So you got Meadows, you got Randy, you got Lau, you got a few guys that can hit the ball pretty hard. And yes, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup, but he doesn't strike out either side of the plate at that high of a clip. If the dome is open, it's still not a great hitting environment, but it's better than most of the other places on the slate outside of Coors. So, yeah, like, Meadows stands out as an elite, elite play. Lau is priced almost accordingly, but stands out as a really good play going up against Alcantara. And, I mean, I'm sure the Marlins bullpen has gotten a whole lot better since last year where they're historically bad, but they're still not going to be a good bullpen. So this is facing bad pitching pretty much the entire game. And we could definitely see the Rays put up the most runs on the entire slate.
Yeah. We saw plenty of upside from this team in the playoff run. So they're not going to look great on paper, but we know that they're a team that can put up like runs. So I definitely don't mind looking at Tampa as a stack. Do you have any interest in Miami?
Not really. Glasnow's good. Bullpen's good. You know, these hitters are very good. Outside of Marte, who's priced up. I mean, Dickerson you can use as a salary relief guy. It's really it. Like, just now
it's kind of where I'm at too. Moving on, we got the Cardinals and the Reds, 7.5 total. Flaherty against Castillo. Another pick'em game here. Any interest in Jack Flaherty?
I mean, a little bit. He is a guy that is not as good versus lefties as he is versus righties, and it looks like there's going to be a decent amount of lefties in this lineup, but not too many. Like, Flaherty can still strike out righties at a or lefties at a decent clip, but I mean, he's not going to come in at high ownership because Glasnow and Woodruff and Maeda are all in the same range. So he makes an interesting GPP play just based on the way things kind of go beginning on the season. It's 40 degrees out in Cincinnati and the wind's blowing out, and that's a small ballpark, but the wind doesn't really affect it too much. And that cold weather is more than enough to kind of make me think, all right, yeah, this could be still a low-scoring game. I mean, it's a pick 'em, it's a 7.5 total, and yet we're going to have – and on top of that, we have two pitchers with pretty close to the same strikeout rates. One of them is 600 more and is projected for 4 times the ownership. So Flaherty is a great pivot off of guys like Woodruff, off of guys like Glasnow, off of guys like Maeda, just because he's going to come in at a lot of ownership. We'll see if things update a little bit more as time goes on, but that's kind of my thought as of right now, because it's not like the Reds don't strike out at all. They're still a decent strikeout team, and they still got some young guys in there.
Yeah. I think the Reds are like one of the most underrated lineups outside of Joey Votto in baseball. Like, this is a team that the weather is not great for stacking them on this slate. And like, this game's in Cincinnati, the Great American Small Park, but I'm going to be stacking the Reds a lot to start the season. I think they're a very underrated lineup. I think they have a lot of upside. I don't love Flaherty, but I completely understand why you'd play him in this spot. I don't think there's enough lefties in this lineup for him to get crushed, and I think he has plenty of upside. The other side, Luis Castillo, just an elite pitcher against right-handed bats, and he's going to see 6 to 7 righties in this lineup in this matchup. I don't care who the righties are at all. That, like, if Castillo is going to get that many righties, like, he has to be on your board as far as pitching goes.
Yeah, I mean, he's the top projected owned pitcher on the entire slate. So, I mean, that's my reason for fading him, because he's not really that much better than a lot of the pitchers on the slate. I mean, he's still elite, but when I can get Nola for 1K more at 30% less ownership, I'd rather do that. I mean, again, I'm taking a ballsy move on the slate, fading Woodruff, fading Glasnow, and fading Castillo, who all grayed out as the best pitchers on this slate, but it's just kind of the way that things are going to go, and I plan on doing it. But if you're just going from a strict, like, raw points per dollar, like getting safety, talent, matchup, everything, Castillo grades out as a good play, but like I said, I plan on fading him.
Yeah, and like, it makes sense. Like, this is a guy that 35% K rate against righties, going to face a bunch of righties here. A lot of strikeouts in the lineup. Like, I get the fade. I do, because it's opening day and anything can happen. But I do think he's like an elite play on this slate. Assuming that the lineup is what we're looking at as far as like projected lineup goes. And Nolan Arenado finally gives Paul Goldschmidt like some real like help and protection in the lineup. So, you know, Matt Carpenter just wasn't giving Goldschmidt like the protection they needed. Like, this is a spot where Arenado is really going to give Goldschmidt a guy behind him where you can't really pitch around Goldschmidt anymore. So, you know, definitely think that Castillo is elite, but I get it if you're going to be underweight or fading him. Any interest in the Cardinals' bats?
I mean, not really. I think if they end up putting up a big number, it's probably just based on BABIP. I mean, yes, it is the Great American Small Park, but it's going to be 40 degrees outside. Like, it's Cincinnati, it's Ohio. Ohio's not really the best weather state. I think we had multiple games canceled there 2 seasons ago because it was so cold at the beginning of the season. But yeah, like, everyone's priced up a little bit. Like, Arenado's 5.3K, Goldschmidt's 5.1K, DeJong's 4.4, Edmonds 4.2. So they're priced up way more than they should be considering the matchup. So I'm kind of out on all these bats.
I feel kind of the same with the Reds. Like, I'm going to play the Reds a lot. Like, I'm a huge fan of Moustakas and Winker just in general, but I just don't know if this is necessarily the slate. But I would not be shocked if the Reds put up like an 8 or 9 spot here.
I kind of would just because of the weather, but yeah, you're right. They are a good lineup. It's just 40 degree
weather stinks, but yeah, wet 40 degree weather, like 15 mile an hour winds blowing dead out to center field though. Like if they get some gusts, who knows? Like 40 degree weather is just not great baseball weather in general, and the ball just doesn't fly.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the game that everybody wants us to talk about. Dodgers and Rockies, 11 total. Clayton Kershaw against Herman Marquez. Kershaw, minus 227 favorite. You know, highest implied total on the slate for the Dodgers. We're not playing pitchers here, right? We're even though it's Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw, a guy with a fantastic curveball in Coors. Not really going to do too much. And when he's priced at 9.5K, guy with already short leash, no chance I'm playing him.
The lineup is not as scary as it used to be, though. I will say that. Like, it's still Coors, but the Rockies lineup, definitely not as scary as it has been in the past few years.
No, it's really not great. But you got to look at the slate as a whole is the main thing.
Yep.
Like Castillo, Flaherty, Glasnow, Hendricks, Maeda, Woodruff, Nola, Darvish, all on the slate. Like, if it was a trash slate, not opening day slate, maybe Kershaw and Coors I would think about. But when it's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow, like, in Coors, I don't care who's playing or who's hitting against Kershaw. It's in Coors. I don't want to pay 9.5K on the slate for him.
Yep, I'm out. Too expensive. I'm not playing Herman Marquez. Dodgers lineup, one of the best lineups in baseball, and it's in course.
Yeah, play all the Dodgers. Like,
yeah, this is obviously the stack you're going to try to save some money with some other spots and try to get. Like, it's 66 in cores, but when we're looking at all the games on the slate, like, this is actually one of the higher temp games that we're going to be looking at today. Like, Colorado sent all of their cold weather east.
Yeah, no, it literally snowed yesterday. Like, we had a little bit of a blizzard, and it's 50 today. It's supposed to get to a high of 70 tomorrow. So I think as the game goes on, since it's starting at 2, it'll end up hotter towards the end of the game. So it should be 70 degrees towards the end of the game. Yeah, I mean, it's the Dodgers. Like, I get Marquez is a good pitcher, but he's not elite and in Coors. So just play the Dodgers. Like, Betts, Seager, Turner, Bellinger, all grayed out as the top total points, raw points plays on the entire slate, and Turner is far too underpriced. And then guys like Will Smith, Muncy, Pollock are all good hitters, and it's in Coors. Like, even Gavin Lux, if you need some salary relief, if he pops a starting lineup, which I'm expecting him to, don't mind that at all. Like, just play them all.
Yeah, all of them. All of them. Like, I don't have to talk you into it. The guy that I have outside of like Trevor Story on the other side, I really like CJ Cron.
Yep.
Really like CJ Cron. 3K for a guy with power and cores, and or 3,800. But like, I get that it is Clayton Kershaw, and we don't like to play against Clayton Kershaw. But man, oh man, CJ Cron at 3,800 against the lefty and cores. Like, I'm in.
Yep. Yeah, right there with you. I mean, it's not like this is the Dodgers. They know they're going to the playoffs. They have the deepest rotation in the entire league, them and the Padres.
The deepest team in the league. Again, they're going to win another World Series.
I mean, it's baseball. Anything can happen, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm hoping for an all Southern California World Series with the Padres and Dodgers. I don't even love
that. That would be an awesome World Series.
Oh, gosh. I love the Padres, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Kershaw. Like, might only go 70 pitches, so Cron stands out, like, as a great play. Guy with a ton of power is playing in Coors now. Really like him. Outside of him, like, McMahon is cheap at 3.6K. Like, this – I don't mind it. Like, I don't care who the pitcher is. I don't care the situation. I don't care about anything when it comes to Coors. Like, whatever lineup they roll out, I'm still willing to stack up Coors, especially on a slate where we have mostly just trash hitting conditions. Is still Coors. I'm going to stack up the Rockies. None of them are high priced. None of them are that. We don't have a single Rocky projected for over 7% ownership. And you got Tapia at 3.4K, Fuentes, who's not great, at 3K. Story priced the same as Seager, Blackman at 5K, Cron at 3.8K. Like, I get it's Kershaw. I don't care. He might only go 60 pitches. It's the first game of the season. They're very careful with him. And yeah, they have a real deep bullpen, but this is still Coors. I'm going to stack up the Rockies.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to be stacking the Dodgers in this spot, but don't let Clayton Kershaw scare you. He got rocked, too. I was reading about it earlier. He got rocked in his last outing of spring break. So he got spring he break. Did not have a good – or spring training. my daughter just got done with spring break. So, but yeah, he – his fastball's been slow. It's like, you know, 88 to 91. I think this is a spot to just load up on the Rockies, play the contrarian stacking cores and – call it a day. Arizona at San Diego, 8.5 total. Madison Bumgarner against Yu Darvish. Padres favored by 233 here. Madison Bumgarner, any interest?
Nope.
I'm with you on that. This dude had a 333 ISO, 402 wOBA to righties last season. He's going to face one of the best right-handed hitting lineups in baseball. I'm out on Madison Bumgarner. Yu Darvish. This lineup is pretty much exactly what we looked at last season as far as the Diamondbacks go. They're not a team that walks. They don't strike out a ton, but they're a very beatable lineup. And Darvish coming off of a really strong year, 30% K rate, 13.7% swing and strike rate. But I think the thing that stands out the most to me is a 5% walk rate. We want guys to go a little bit deeper when we're paying over 10K. I think he's – probably the only guy that could put up 30, maybe Nola. I think these are the type of guys that could put up 30.
Up 30.
I don't think he's going to strike out enough people to put up 30, but I hope he does. I'm with you on him, so I hope he does. But I think Darvish has probably the highest potential to be the highest scoring pitcher on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the projected starting lineup. A 141 ice, so 301 wOBA versus righties last year. Darvish is a guy that can go late in games. Good strikeout rate. It's not great weather when you consider the rest of the league as a whole and all the other games, but it's going to be 79 degrees. Still at sea level. It's still not a great hitter's ballpark, but yeah. Darvish, like I said, I'm fading the chalk for Nola and Hendricks. So we'll see how it goes. I'm just going real ballsy on the slate, but Darvish grades out as the top raw points play on the entire slate. Like, he's expensive, but depending on who you end up playing, there's a lot of value plays. You can absolutely play him.
I don't have any interest in any bats from Arizona. Do you?
Kettle Marte, Peralta, I don't mind. Escobar, I don't mind. They're cheap. Even Walker has some pop. Like, Darvish, as we've seen before in the past, get a little wild, like at the beginning of the season before he fully gets a hold of things. So I don't care. Just like, as Blender would say, it's a vomit stack, but it's 2.7, 2.8, 2.8 for the top three guys in the lineup. Like, pairing them up with Dodgers and doing a 5-3 stack, it's not the worst idea in the world, or even a 4-3 stack. And you can pay up for Nola, Dodgers, and a guy like Glasnow. So I have no problem playing the top three guys in the stack, even Rojas or Christian Walker, like, has some pop. But it's Marte is good. Like, Peralta's good. Escobar is good. They're all good hitters. I mean, they may not have had a great season last season versus righties, but it's not too far removed from them being kind of elite hitters. Like, it was a short season last year. It was weird. They were kind of injured for part of it. These guys still have some pop and still have some good bats. And they're super cheap. I don't care about the matchup. I'll use Marte, Peralta, and Escobar in a little mini stack.
The Padres side, like, this is my favorite stack outside the Dodgers and the Red Sox. Like, to get different, this is just an amazing spot. Madison Bumgarner is not Madison Bumgarner of years ago. Like, this is a guy that really struggled against righties. Tatis, Machado, Pham, Myers. Throw in Hosmer, because I don't expect Bumgarner to go deep. So I love the Padres on this slate.
I'm not even sure Bumgarner is an average minor league pitcher anymore.
It's going to be rough. This is going to be a rough opening day start for him. They're giving him the opening day nod just because of his name is Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe turn stuff around. in the off season, but no, he's probably just he would have to,
did he develop 5 more mile an hour?
I mean, I don't know, like maybe his curve got filthy. I doubt it. Yeah, basically what I'm saying is he's not in good shape here. He's going to get destroyed. I mean, we've got Tatis is one of the top hitters in the entire league. Machado is one of the top hitters in the entire league. Fam is underrated and drastically underpriced. He's probably the top overall, whatever it's called, salary play on the entire slate at 3.1K. It's just silly to me. Hosmer is still an above average hitter, but it is lefty-lefty matchup. Probably not some guy I'm really excited to play. Myers is probably going to come in way too low owned, and there's a guy that last season had a 314 ISO versus lefties, and going up against a lefty that against righties last season gave a 50% fly ball and hard contact rate and a 333 ISO. Cronenworth is a righty that's pretty good. Like, just stack this game up. Bumgarner is terrible, and this is one of the hot. This is probably going to be, if Miami doesn't open the dome, the hottest game on the entire slate.
And okay, before I get a lot of tweets, I know Bumgarner's been throwing a little bit harder in spring training. It's just not the same. Okay. It's not the same. He's going to get, like, prove it to me. Beat the Padres. You beat the Padres and I'll play you in your next start. Like, if you throw good against this lineup, I'll play you. Probably get rocked. We finish it out. Last game on the podcast today, the Rangers and the Royals, 9 total. Kyle Gibson against Brad Keller. The Royals are a 166 favorite here. Let's start with the Rangers. Kyle Gibson, any interest in him?
Not really. I like the Royals today. So Gibson is fine at 5.3K, and it's not bad weather, and it's not a bad pitcher's ballpark. But it does suppress strikeouts, and even though there are a decent amount of strikeouts in this Royal lineup, Gibson's not a great strikeout pitcher.
Very underrated Royals lineup. Not the greatest ballpark in the world, but like they added Benintendi. They got Santana. Kyle Isbell is the guy that is supposed to be like super talented. So a rookie card that you guys might want to try to get. As far as like Brad Keller goes on the other side, like he's a guy that just limits hard contact. He doesn't strike people out. He just doesn't give up like a lot of power. I actually kind of like the Rangers in this spot. I think they're sneaky. So I'm off of Keller here.
I'm kind of on Keller. Like, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup outside of Gallo and Lau. Not really a great lineup. Like, Dahl's not bad, but Keller is a guy that still has some potential. And I mean, I haven't looked into his spring training numbers too much, but this is a guy that had an uptick on his fastball towards the second end of last season. We've seen him put up decent outings before. He's super cheap at 5.9K. The weather's not great for hitting. Like, it's going to be 50 degrees during the course of the game, and it's in Kansas City. That's already not a great ballpark. It generally relies on there being 85-90% weather, or 85-90 degrees weather with 80% humidity, and it's going to be 50 with 30% humidity. Like, we talked about how little there is in terms of, like, cheap guys, and we talked about Cool potentially being a guy. Alcantara is going to be chalky. Keller's going to come in at no ownership, and he could potentially go 7 innings, give up no runs, and end up striking out 6 guys, which at 5.9K is going to more than get you there. I mean, again, I'm going off the board today, but of the cheap guys, he's probably my favorite.
Yeah, like I get it. I'm just kind of like the Rangers, man. Like, it probably is not going to work out, but Joey Gallo switched bats in spring training, and like I think he had like 5 or 6 home runs in spring training. So I'm definitely playing Joey Gallo at 3.6K against a guy. I wouldn't necessarily say like he's a soft Tyson righty, but he's a soft Tyson righty. Like, this is a dude that like 93 is hard for him, and that's just not fast in Major League Baseball anymore. Like, this dude throws a lot of off stuff, slider, like a sinker type of guy, but you know, Joey Gallo is a guy that mashes sinkers. So I'm in. Let's go, Joey Gallo. You cost me a ton of money last year. Why not just pick it up and keep donating?
Yeah, I mean, they are super cheap. I mean, Gallo at 3.6K is just far too cheap for a guy.
Dahl at 2.5.
Like Lau at 3.5. So, like, I know he's not great at 2.9. Like, you're trying to figure out a way to stack up the Dodgers. While I do have a lot of interest in Keller, it's predominantly just because of his price tag, but like the fact that we have Keller at 5.9K and the opposing lineup priced at an average of 3K per bat. And then we got guys like Castillo going up against the Cardinals, Castillo at 9.2K and all the Cardinals bats at around 5K. Like, it's just mispricing here for both the Rangers and the Royals, or for the Rangers and Keller. So, yeah, I have some interest in this stack. It's just far too cheap, and it's not going to come in at heavy ownership.
Yeah, even on the other side of this game, like Benintendi's 4K, Soler is 2.8K, Santana's 3.6. Perez is expensive. I hate paying up a catcher. The guy that I'm interested in here is Kyle Isbell, man. Like, this is supposed to be like a super talented prospect, and I love playing prospects early in the season just because nobody likes to play him. He's 2.1K, probably going to bat sixth or seventh for the home team, which is a little concerning. But at that price, like, all I need is a little bit. I don't need him to go anything crazy. So, like, if I'm trying to stack the Dodgers in cores, I'm going to take a kid that's supposed to be have like this massive raw power and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that kind of worries me is the fact that he – like went straight from A all the way up there, and he hasn't had a whole lot of experience. He's super raw, so I don't mind that, and the price tag is super intriguing. But I'd rather play Soler, guy with a ton of pop, like priced at 2.8K. Just, I mean, it seems far too cheap for the kind of power that he has. And then obviously Mondesi, Witt, Benintendi, Santana are all solid guys. Perez is a solid guy, but Soler is the guy that seems a little bit mispriced there at 2.8K, and he's always a threat to hit a bomb or two.
Yeah, just I just wanted to point out, like, we're going to see a lot of single A, double A 2019 to 2021 Major League Baseball because of what happened with COVID last season. So we're going to have to take shots. Like, it's just as simple as that. So we're going to have to take some shots on some of these guys. So let's play the morning. Oh, we're going to do our super draft plays. Lot of great plays over there on super draft. My super draft play of the day is Hunter Renfroe, 1.35X. We talked about him and that spot and the matchup and everything. He's a guy that I think can get a home run at 1.35. So really like him. And I really like Xander and Kiki as well in that game at their multipliers.
Yeah. So the super draft play of the day is probably going to be, for pitchers, it's going to be Aaron Nola. It's going to be at 1.45X. It's going to be Woodruff, and it's going to be Glasnow, both of them at 1.6X. In terms of hitting, I think Randall's a little bit too high at a 1.55X multiplier. Just seems like a drastic mispricing on their part. I'm looking to see Will Smith at 1.55X. If he gets a start there, he should end up crushing. Benintendi at 1.55X. Randy Rosarilla at 1.55X. There's a lot of high multiplier guys, but I think potentially one of the top stacks on the board is probably Boston. Like, we got multiple guys in the high X range that should be into the starting lineup. Kike at 1.55. Renfroe, you already mentioned, 1.35. JD's still at 1.25. So Boston's probably my favorite stack, and the best pitchers to play are going to be Nola, Woodruff, and Glasnow. Even though I'm fading Glasnow and Woodruff mostly on DK, on Super Draft, they're by far the top plays.
All right, let's play the morning grind game. We're going to use last year's morning grind game. If there's anything you guys want to see or change, always feel free to hit me up on Twitter. We're going to start it off here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts.
Hendricks.
Why didn't I just write it down for you? I knew that was coming. I think the best chance outside of Hendricks to get 8Ks is Max Fried. Again, I don't love the spot for him, but I do think he's like the next best guy to get that many strikeouts in that range. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
8K to score under 15.
You can do Coors for pitching.
I mean, it seems like it's just kind of cheating.
I think almost all these guys get over 15.
Yeah, I'm going to go ballsy just because I am fading him. And I'm going to go with Glasnow.
I'll take Kershaw. That's fine. Those are the two options. I don't even think Glasnow is the option. I think like maybe Flaherty or Woodruff, maybe not pitching deep or something. Over 4K, not in cores, to hit a home run.
JD.
Yeah, like that one a lot. It's as simple as this. It's Fernando Tatis Jr. against Bumgarner. First at bat, first pitch. There you go. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's your cheap
Renfro? Game?
Why are you taking my guy?
I already wrote him up on the expert survey.
I don't have expert survey on Thursdays, so good for you. I would have done the same thing though. I love him. Give me Joey Gallo, new bat Gallo. There you go, new bat Gallo. That's what I'm gonna call him. A stack to score six or more runs. Who do you got?
Boston.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you're seeing a common trend on this podcast. We're both there. I'm gonna go Padres. I really like the Padres against Bumgarner here. Over under against the spread, money line, anything standing out to you here?
So if you're in a legal state, FanDuel, drastically better odds for Cleveland. I think they're at -172 over on FanDuel. Over on DK, they're -205. So make sure that only bet them over on FanDuel. But I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah. It's kind of a pick 'em, but give me the Reds. I think the Reds beat the Cardinals on opening day. I think it's a really close game just in general, but yeah, I think the Reds, that's where I'm going to start my baseball morning grind bets off at for the year. So Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Oh gosh, I'm excited for baseball.
Me too. Make sure you guys check out Justin and Will on the basketball podcast as well. This is going to be up way earlier. So you guys can check that out, but that's going to wrap it up here for opening day baseball. 9 games in the books. Good luck, everyone. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.
See you, kids.